You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
What is the most devastating social evil of our times? Professionals in the field of counseling tell us that it is loneliness. Everybody has known loneliness at some time or other. The unsettling feeling of loneliness strikes men and women, young and old, single and married, sick and healthy, widows and retired people, learned and illiterate, politicians and pastors, high and low, the successful and the losers, those who have status and people who are derelicts. Loneliness is many things. Sometimes it is a child, discovering its parents are getting a divorce and being torn by the pull toward each parent. A child who hides under his blanket every evening and cries himself secretly to sleep because his parents are quarreling much of the time. A child on the first day of school, not knowing any other children. A child who sobs, "No one likes me." A youngster being teased and ridiculed by his classmates. Loneliness is also a young person, a student on his first day of college, glad to be away from home, but feeling empty nevertheless. A homesick young man or woman in the armed forces, being at a party, and feeling ignored. A young man or young woman longing for a partner but having no dates. A girl saying no when all the other girls seem to be saying yes. Following one's convictions, though it separates you from the crowd. Loneliness can be a mother whose children have all left home. A woman who feels neglected by her husband because his work is his life. A woman who once said, "My husband talks about 20 words a day to me." Another woman whose husband left her after 38 years of marriage in favor of another lover. Or a person simply suffering cabin fever, sick of being cooped up within four walls. Loneliness these days is simply growing old in a culture that worships youth, being retired while the busy world rushes by you. Being a widow who says, "People avoid me. What has happened? Did I do something wrong? Why is no one around?" A forgotten old person in an old folks' home. An elderly woman who lives alone with only a cat as a friend. Lying in a hospital bed, looking at the ceiling and asking, "How long?" A depressed person who moans, "If I were to die tonight, no one would shed a tear, and in a week, not a person in the world would ever think of me again." Coming home after the funeral of one dearest and best, feeling robbed, empty, and poorer beyond words. Some of the loneliest people in the world are surrounded by crowds, but nobody pays any attention. After a funeral, when people come to comfort. In a few days, the feeling that one is alone comes on very strong, especially when people all around go about their business, doing the things they always have to do, and the days become long because there's no one to talk to, no one whom to ask for advice, no one who seems to care. It was a dark day for a woman in a little town named Nain. Luke tells us that Jesus was going by the town on that day, when the body of a young man was being carried out to its last resting place, accompanied by a large crowd of people who had come together to console his mother, who was a widow. The young man was her only child. Luke tells us, "The Lord was overcome with compassion for her and said to her, 'Don't cry.' He went up and touched the bier. Those who carried it stood still. Then he said, 'Young man, I say to you, arise.'" That widow never forgot that day. In her moment of greatest loneliness, surrounded by a crowd, all kinds of things had been running through her head. She was too grief-stricken to be able to think much at all. An icy hand had taken hold of her heart. It was a loneliness so deep and so dark that you cannot see the bottom. Her husband had died some time before. People told her at that time to trust in God and that he would make everything come out all right. She had done that and found it to be true after some weeks or months of grieving. Now there was this. The young man who comforted his mother and told her not to worry died suddenly and unexpectedly. Friends and neighbors gathered at the house, along with many of the young man's friends, to escort his mother and his body to its last resting place. Maybe she had seen it coming, and maybe not. Now, all of a sudden, the loneliness of it all began to hit her. She may very well have been a strong woman, but loneliness does not spare the strong. The head of a corporation who must make the final decisions himself told a friend of mine recently, "The closer I get to the top of the pyramid, the more alone I am." Other people in that corporation, although they are surrounded by all kinds of fellow employees, say that they are never spoken to as a person, or that they are not appreciated for what they do. Their work is often highly valued, but nobody ever tells them. Nobody seems to care. People can feel mighty lonely when alone, but they can also feel powerfully lonely in a crowd. There are times when there is no place where anyone can be more lonely than in a crowd. When you come to think of yourself as just a little cog in a big machine. When you live in a big city whose very size promises relief from loneliness and often produces just the opposite. On a desk in a large university classroom, someone had carved the words, "Why am I so lonely when there are over 2,000 of us here?" The same thing can happen in a large apartment complex or even in a church. Life is taken casually without a thought about all the loneliness that is about to overwhelm someone living, working, and studying right next door, not to speak about worshiping in the same pew at church. Jesus noticed. It's the remarkable thing you always notice about him. He took note. He noticed the deep loneliness of the widow going out surrounded by a big crowd to bury her only son. She was at the center of the cortege, but she was alone. Jesus just happened to meet the procession, as we say, when he approached the gate of this little town. He was moved with compassion, something always characteristic of him. He did not just stand by and watch. He leaned forward. He touched the bier of the young man. Nobody stops for a funeral procession, but for Jesus, everybody stopped. Jesus said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The young man sat up and began to talk. Sometimes I wonder how many other people in the town of Nain that day also felt alone in the crowd. No one stood out, of course, but others felt her loneliness. They experienced the same feelings themselves. They couldn't do anything about it, but he could. In that good-sized crowd, especially for that village, there must have been people who came because it was expected of them, and others to satisfy their curiosity. Still others stayed at home because they had more important things to do. They were part of the crowd, whether they went along or not. In the midst of the crowd walked a woman who was unique. She was now the last one, the only survivor. I've been with people many times who are the only survivors. Their last brother or sister had just died, and only they were left. In failing health themselves, they have to carry on. The woman from Nain was the unique person in this common predicament. Now she had to carry on, all alone with all those people out there. Yes and no. Yes, it's quite natural to feel alone when no one can ever take the place of the one you've lost. No one can even quite understand his particular eccentricities and traits which gave life a special meaning by warming, angering, comforting, disturbing, saddening, amusing, and gladdening the years spent together. No, you're not alone, because a lot of people are out there, but they can never fill the void out of which wells sorrow, remembrance, and the kinship of blood or spirit which has been unique for you. Something is missing, and loneliness begins to rear its ugly head. Sometimes I suspect husband and wife can feel very much alone with each other once their children are grown and gone, because those children have meant one thing to the father and something else to the mother. Their absence can now affect one differently from the other. They truly try to understand one another, and the attempt to stand in the other person's shoes does console somewhat. What they do for each other, I suspect, is to help each one carry a singularly private load. It helps to heal those private hurts when somebody is around and at least tries to understand. When someone genuinely tries to help overcome the feeling that one is the only survivor. When someone cares. Jesus died, so much does he care. Jesus lives by resurrection from the dead, and he certainly cares. The young man sat up and began to talk. Jesus handed him over to his mother. For her, he did this. He could, and he did. He's the only one I know who can and does. Jesus knew loneliness himself. All alone, he struggled with the devil in the wilderness. Only after the ordeal was over did angels come and minister to him. All alone in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating drops of blood as we put blood, sweat, and tears into our efforts to keep our heads above water. On the cross, he appeared to be truly God-forsaken. All alone, he died for the sins of the world. Nobody seemed to be standing by when they laid his body into the new-hewn rock tomb. All alone, he rose from that tomb. And all alone, he rules in his grace and power with the authority of God himself. Luke makes it quite clear in his gospel that he told the story of the woman at Nain not just to comfort people in their loneliness, but to give them hope for the future. The deepest loneliness is to be without God and without hope in the world. The deepest loneliness is overcome by the living power of the living God that can always be seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus can be trusted. He can do and he does. He can forgive sins and he can remove the glaze of guilt which lies like a heavy weight upon all of human life. He can give light and life when everything seems to be dark and dead. He can, and he does. Jesus can do for you what neither I or anyone else could ever do for you. Jesus sees the whole mess in the world for what it is, and he does for you as only he can. It may not look like much of a miracle to you, but Jesus puts faith into your heart just through the telling of the good news of God. He talks to you today through ordinary words of an ordinary man. He gives his word to you. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Him that comes to me, I shall in no wise cast out. Jesus listens to you as you pray. It's your way of talking to him. Just as the gospel, the good news of life and salvation, is his way of talking to you. He likes to forgive people who are sorry for their own mistakes and missteps, not to speak about their rebellion against God. He loves to forgive and to give life. The life Jesus gives is not just for a time. He does not come just to overcome a momentary feeling of loneliness without hope. He gives life that can truly be called eternal. It's his life to give. He can, and he does. Jesus knows you, my friend, even though you may not have known him. He knows you by name. You're not just one of the crowd. With faith in Jesus, you become a son or daughter in God's family. God loves you in spite of everything. He loves you with an everlasting love. Now, that's love. It is not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be one of us as a sacrifice for our sins. Know that love, that unselfish love that comes from Jesus, and show it to others. It's a wonderful way to overcome the feeling of loneliness. You are needed, whether you know it or not, to show love to others. Don't be afraid. Jesus lives, and so do you. He lives to give. He can, and He does. Live to give. Trusting in Jesus, you can, and you will. Very often it is true that you are just as lonely as you choose to be. Recently, a man had just lost his wife, who was very dear to him. He remembered her with a substantial gift, the first one to be received, by the way, for the building of new studio facilities for this program. He broke out of his loneliness, real as it was, by doing something great for someone else. It was good for him, and it will be good for a lot of other people. Why did he do that? Not to gain recognition. He will be surprised that I mention it on this broadcast. He could do it, and he did it, out of faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. God loves you, my friend. In the midst of the crowd, you're not alone. The Lord is mindful of His own, and He will show them His covenant. He dispels the clouds of distrust and brings light into the darkness of your loneliness. You can do the same thing for others. And one day, trusting in Him, you'll feel the touch of His hand and hear His voice. Young man, young woman, I say to you, arise. And that will be the life, I tell you, in all its fullness.